Lord, maybe we feel that our government has been slow in acting. We feel angry. We feel things aren't right in our world today, and we feel there's so much conflict between people. Lord, we desire our world to be at peace, but it's not at peace. There's so much difficulty. So all we can do is come to you, lay our concerns before you. Lord, we're also very much aware that there's this coronavirus that's wreaking havoc around our world today. We pray, Lord, for your hand of mercy, your hand of grace upon people. Lord, we know our days are numbered, as we sang today. May our death, Lord, be a reflection of what you want us to be in life, that it be something that glorify you. All we have is right now, Lord, and we take this now and we lay it before you in worship. We pray for ourselves. We pray for our community. We pray for our world today, Lord, that you would heal the brokenness and you could bring us back to yourself in a contrite way, in a humble way, that we would respect you and honor you with all that we are. Thank you today that we reflect on this theme of worship today and understanding our Christianity, our spirituality before you. Worship is so, so important for us. We pray that you would draw our hearts towards you today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Please be seated, Pastor Jim.
Well, good morning to you all. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, is present here among us today. Amen. Just as we start to talk about this topic of worship this morning, because that's our topic, it strikes me that as I started to put this message together, that this is an awfully large topic. When we start to talk about worship, we're talking about something that is so varied and diverse and so involved in what we do that it couldn't possibly be handled well in one message, right? Which means I'll preach three for you this morning. No, I'm just kidding. But it is a large, and worship comes out in so many ways, and there's so much involved in it. For example, you'll notice this morning that we've changed the color on the cross. The draping on the cross has moved from green to purple. And the reason that is because it celebrates the fact of the beginning of Lent, and the Lenten season is a season when we remember that Jesus begins his journey to the cross to reclaim his throne. And it is a royal purple, the color of a king, and a king coming. And that's why it's purple. Incidentally, if you say, no, it looks black, that's just because of our poor lighting in here, okay? Come up afterwards and take a look at it. It's a royal purple, a proper royal purple, okay? The lighting I can't help, right? Okay. And that's just one way of worshiping. For some people, that's important because it reminds them of those things and it brings it out. Worship is a very, very large kind of a topic. For some people, they think of the singing. This is worship. And that's only just one side of worship. It's one little piece of worship. And I've talked to you before about this idea of separating the content of worship from the medium of worship. Music is a medium of worship. The content of worship is declaring the worthiness of our God, right? By the way, for fear that anybody's liable to think I've gone strangely charismatic, you are welcome to say amen or praise the Lord or anything at any time if you agree with anything I say. You're welcome. In fact, I would be encouraging. Then maybe it would encourage me too. Anyway, and sadly, I think that many people think that they get their weekly dose of worship on Sunday mornings, you know? They come here Sunday morning and expect to get all they need of worship for 1 week, in 1 hour. And then they're going to go away, and it's going to be wonderful all week, and then it'll all be gone by next week, and then come again. They're going to be disappointed if that's the way they come, looking for worship. His worship is much larger than that. If we're, here's the point of it all. If we're going to be truly involved in any kind of worship, especially congregational worship as we do it here, we need first off to be personal worshipers. Personal worshipers. What does that mean? That means that your worship starts from inside your heart and it works outward. Your worship starts, it's a thing that you start when you get up, as we sang, when I rise in the morning. It starts with you when you get up in the morning. One of the things that I did for quite a while to remind myself of that is when my feet would touch the floor for the first time in the morning, I would say, thank you, Lord, for another day. And that would be the thing that I practiced every morning for a long time. And then, like all good habits, I forgot to do it again. Things change, and sometimes things change in life. If we'd come expecting our congregational worship here to be our dose of worship, then that's what we need. We will be disappointed, okay? Our services will simply become a little better than a sing-along and a speech, is what they'll become, if we do not come as personal worshipers. It will be entertainment for a Sunday morning. And if listening to me is what you think is entertainment, well, I feel bad for you, okay? Okay. If congregational worship is to be effective, we must be personal worshipers. And so I'd like to explore that kind of concept a little bit this morning. To do it, I want to take you back to a verse out of Hebrews. It's one that I look at frequently, and I think it's one that we have to take seriously. And it's Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29, and it says this. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. And those words, reverence and awe, the reason I like them so much is because if you are really worshiping with reverence and awe, it's not about the music. It's not about the speech, the sermon. It's not about where you're reading in a given. Reverence and awe starts here. Reverence and awe starts in the heart. And that's what we need to come with worship, to worship with. If we don't have that, we don't get what worship should be. Reverence and awe imply a sense of being overwhelmed by amazement and wonder. They are reactions to God that come from moving closer and closer to Him, from spending time in His presence, by allowing Him to awaken us an understanding of how much we actually need Him, of how important He is. Think about those words. I come with reverence. Reverence based on the amazing fact that I am welcomed into the presence of the Almighty God. How can you not have reverence in a situation like that? The God of the universe, and I'm welcome into His presence every moment of my life. Does that not just bring a sense of that reverence to you in your hearts? Every moment of my life, I should be reminding myself of that. There is nowhere I go that He is not with me. It is too important to forget even for a short while. And you know, the other thing that reverence does is it keeps me humble, because it reminds me that He is the Almighty God and that He is always there. Actually, it's an antidote for one of the things that really bothers me. For a while there's been an approach in some of the churches that, you know, to talk about God as my buddy. You know, He's my buddy. You know, He's with me. He's my friend, right? I don't know if you've heard those kinds of things, and you hear them sometimes in churches and some of the music and whatever. God is not our buddy. He's far beyond being a buddy of ours. He's one who deserves my utmost respect and loyalty. When I consider that all that God has done and is yet to do, how can I help but feel awe? How can I not be left breathless at how powerful and amazing He is, and yet He still cares for me? I should live constantly in that type of reverence and awe. And that's why when we truly focus on personal worship, it would transform our spiritual lives. It will transform them. Personal worship, worship that we do in our hearts and in our minds, it's the worship we do that is just between us and God. Whether we are sitting by ourselves somewhere or in the presence of big crowds, whether we are on some type of a personal retreat somewhere, or we're walking through the busy streets with people jostling our elbows, it doesn't matter. It's between him and me. And in turn, personal worship is an essential part of the spiritual basics of spiritual formation, because it informs almost every other part of our spiritual journey. Personal worship. I hope I've explained to some degree what it is I'm trying to get across here with this. It's a difficult topic in some ways to explain. It's important because personal worship helps us to strengthen our personal relationship with God. It's an interesting comparison. I think you've probably heard this said when people say, when they're talking to seekers and non-believers, and they talk about it's not enough to just know about Jesus. You have to know Jesus, right? That's what they say. It's got to be personal. Well, that's sort of the same kind of thing with worship. We have to get to the point where our worship leads us into a personal relationship with God and a personal understanding of him. We should be encouraging people to build a personal relationship with God around us in that way. It changes, you see, what it does is it changes religion. It changes our faith from a religious formula of traditions and words and rites. You understand, I think, what I'm getting at. It takes that and it changes that into a life, a one-on-one life of praise with God. When we seek to become personal worshipers, we move from being spectators of worship to intimately engaged participants of worship. We find ourselves moving closer and closer to God. And where else would we want to be but close to our God? That's again what we've been singing about this morning. Personal worship also informs the way we look at the world. As we move closer to God, we begin to catch maybe a glimpse. That's all it would ever be, but maybe a glimpse of creation and humanity as God might see them. We begin to see ourselves as God's ambassadors to a fallen world. It brings us a sense of security and peace and hope in a world of fear, confusion, and sorrow. It reminds us that though we are in the world, we are not of the world. We walk with God. And it's so, I guess my point is that as children of God, we need to clothe ourselves in this kind of a worshipful attitude, an attitude of reverence and awe every day of our lives. We will not regret that if we can learn to do that. We will not regret it. So I ask myself questions like, so if this truly is one of the spiritual formation things that we talk about, that we've been talking about, this idea of, you know, of what leads us and builds our spiritual lives, this concept of personal worship, it actually underpins all of the others that we've been talking about. From the beginning of the year, we've been talking about various elements of spiritual growth, right? So, for example, Pastor Larry talked started us off with talking about prayer and the significance of prayer in spiritual growth. Worship underpins prayer. It should always underpin prayer. When I think about it, prayer is usually broken up into four components. Okay, and you've probably heard this before. There's usually about four components to prayer, good prayer. The first of these is praise. Always has been, always should be. It's probably, you know, clear that that's where you begin, isn't it? In fact, that's what Jesus taught us. What's among the first lines in the Lord's Prayer is what? Hallowed be thy name. He says that. That's what we start with. We start by beginning to praise God. Our personal prayer should always be directed directly to him, and we should be stating that right off the top. And what is it about? It's about his worthiness, the great value of our God. Praise reminds us that when we are engaging with our God in our prayers, that we are the servants and he is the king we serve. He is the one that we come to be with in our prayers. So that one's obvious, right? We can say, okay, we got that worship and the praise portion, yeah. But think about this. The second portion of the prayer that we usually talk about is thanksgiving, right? That's a second type of element of prayers, thanksgiving. We thank God for all he's done, for how he has guided us and helped us. And as soon as I say that, somebody should be saying, wait a minute, is that not worship? When we thank him for all the things he's done? Is that still not worship? It's still a form of worship, isn't it? When I recognize that all that he's done, his faithfulness, his care, his omnipotence, his omniscience, I recognize that everything I have come, that I have, comes from him in one way or another, that he is a good father. My thankfulness should be worshipful. It should be completely underpinning that thankfulness, shouldn't it? My worship of him. Okay, the third thing that's usually talked about is confession. Okay? Prayer should be a place of confession. When I admit my sins, and what's the line out of the word of the Lord's Prayer again? Forgive us our sins, right? Sounds familiar, right? Exactly. When I admit my sins, my failure to live up to God's standards, that's what confession is all about. I'll never be perfect, believe me, while I'm in this world. That's never going to happen. My confession is a recognition that our wonderful God is the source of all forgiveness and that he does forgive even me. For that, I have to declare he is worthy. Confession of sins is actually personal worship. Okay, well, that leaves us with one last thing. It's what's called petitions. Prayers often have petitions as well. That's the fourth part of prayer, usually. What's a petition? That's when we come with our requests to God and we say, you know, please, God, can you deal with this or that or the other kind of thing? You know what I'm talking about. If we bring them in the right way, we are still praising God. It's still a form of worship. What do I mean by the right way? We do not go to God with a laundry list of things we want as though he were some Santa Claus in the sky that's just going to give us stuff, right? That's just nonsense. Instead, we go to him in faith. And we ask him to give us what we need and what is best for us in his kingdom. Our petitions are based on thy will be done. Thy will be done. Though I ask, and certainly we should for things, I must recognize that God knows best and I must accept that he knows best because he is worthy to be trusted. He is worthy to be trusted. When we use the words, thy will be done, that is a form of personal worship, isn't it? It just fills, when you stop and look at it, I hope you see what I'm getting at. This concept of personal worship, it just underpins everything we do. It should. What about other elements of spiritual formation we've been talking about? Earlier this month, Pastor Larry talked about simplicity. And he talked about developing an attitude of simplicity in our lives so that we don't become focused on the things of the world. Is there personal worship in living a life of simplicity? Well, if we go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, we run across this verse. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. Godliness with contentment. When I live a life of simplicity, I display a contentment with what God has given us. The contentment is a statement of satisfaction with what God does. It's a statement that God does know what I need. He does know. And again, we're back to the fact that he is all-knowing and provides everything that I do need. Again, how can I say it? But he's worthy of my praise. He's worthy of my praise. There's a warning in there as well, I think, for me. Not to complain about what I don't have. Because if I truly believe that, then when I complain about what I don't have is tantamount to saying, I know better than God what I need. Contentment with godliness is great gain. It also reminds us that everything that we have comes from Him. And that when we leave this world, everything goes back to God. It's all His. He created it all. Praise to God that He's allowed me to use these things while I'm here. Isn't that a wonder? I don't deserve any of them, but He gives them to me. What can I say? What about, we talked about caring as being spiritual formation. What about caring? Is there worship in caring? God has commanded us to help others. Obedience to God's command is also worship, isn't it? We should be praising God that He gives us the opportunity to help others. How awesome is it to think that God has given each of us a role to play in His kingdom? To me, that's just a wonderful thought. I'm not just wandering this earth with no purpose. I have a role, and it's to serve in His kingdom. And that's for every one of us. Every one of us. We have a role. I ran across this verse the other day, and I wished I'd had found it when I was talking about caring, because it just sort of hit me out of the blue. I'm sure you've all had that where you've read a verse and it just sort of, it's almost like a little angel hits you on the head, boing, you know. You should be paying attention to this, right? Yeah. And I was preaching on caring, and I missed this verse. And it's Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And I don't think I have it on the screen, so you'll just have to listen to me. In the same way, this is Jesus speaking in the Sermon on the Mount. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Did you get that? That they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. In other words, they don't glorify me for the good deeds, they glorify God. Wow. You know, good enough that we get to do things and we care for people, and that's, you know, and in doing so we're worshiping God, but we get also the opportunity to maybe get other people to worship God too through our acts. That's even better in some ways, isn't it? Because it's moving the praise and the worship down, and, you know, more generations and more time. How about in holy living? Personal worship is found in our desire to live holy lives. When I ask God to help me live a better life, I am saying that He knows what is best. Yeah, exactly. That He defines the standard for what is moral. Not me. I also recognize that because of His grace, because of His help, and His guidance, that I can begin to live that kind of life because it's there with Him. Every good thing that is in me, I owe to Him. What a wonderful God we serve. Sorry, you know, you're going to be saying, boy, are you going to go through everything that you can think of here? No, I'm going to end with this last one, evangelism. And missions, really, too. I'm compelled to mention that we should also see evangelism and missions as being a dwelling place of worship. Yes, our purpose is partly to fulfill God's command to reach others, but if we only do it because we're commanded to do it, you know what? Then it's just legalist. It's just a legalist thing. It's my desire to see God glorified. Therefore, my actions and my words are there for that purpose. And the more people that come to know God, the more people there will be to glorify Him and to worship Him. Right? Does that not make sense? So evangelism and missions is actually worship. How about that? See, I told you this was a long, big topic, didn't I? I told you we were going to be going a long ways with it. And you know, and as I sat and I thought about it and prepared for it, I thought, personal worship is involved in all of this stuff. There isn't anything we do as in our spiritual lives as Christians that does not entail an element of worship. There's one for you. Okay, So I've touched on a few places or times in lives when as individuals we should see worship as being the foundation of what we do. By the way, some of you are probably asking, well, is there no place then for music in personal worship? You know what we've been doing up here? Are these guys up here just entertainment? No. There is a place for music too in worship. But the great thing is we don't need instruments or projected lyrics. We don't even need good voices to sing joyfully unto the Lord when we are worshiping personally. We only need the presence of God in our lives. I was thinking to myself that, you know, years ago when we would see someone walking down the street and their mouth was moving and whatever, what did we think about them years ago? Those of you who are as old as I am, or, well, okay, are close anyway. Okay. What did you think? The world would think, oh, look at him talking to himself. He's either strange or he's high on something. That was kind of the approach, right? Today that has no meaning because now we know he's talking on a cell phone. Talking to themselves. So you know what? If you want to sing and hum and whistle your way down the street, nobody's even going to notice you anymore, right? You can sing all you want. You know? And certainly you can pray out loud. Everybody will just think you're talking on your cell phone. No reason to be embarrassed. The other thing that I think to myself with it is that sometimes a song is the only way that really, really brings out, you know, what's in your heart. Sometimes a song is it, and as I said, it doesn't really matter how well you sing or any of those kinds of things, if you're singing in your heart. I should tell you that the woman I love sometimes gets annoyed with me because I start to actually sing out loud. Well, sometimes, I shouldn't say that. She often gets annoyed with me, but sometimes it's about singing, okay? She tells me, you know, I'll start to actually sing something out loud, and then she'll look at me and she'll say, oh, don't do that. She ends up, because I give her what's called an earworm. Do you know what I'm talking about? I start to sing the song, and then she hears it in her head for the rest of the day, and she can't help singing it herself, right? And she gets annoyed with me with that kind of thing. So I have to be very careful when I'm singing in my personal worship side. Eh? What kinds of things should we, what should be the content of that personal worship? What kinds of things should we be praising God for? That's the other thing that we have to ask ourselves. What is so important that God has done that I should worship him because of it? You know, one of the things I really love doing is looking out the back window of my house. We're on a hill kind of area with green and whatever. And as I look out the window, I see these beautiful green trees, squirrels chasing each other up and down the trees and across the fences, hummingbirds that come to the feeders. I see and hear children in the daycare that's across from me laughing and whatever. I see people walking on the street. And I can't help but think, what an amazing, wonderful world that I live in for sure. As a matter of fact, this is where I start to sing one of those songs. But it's not generally a Christian song. But it's a song that could have been, and if we take it the right way, it's personal worship. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I say to myself, what a wonderful world. Right? It's not a hymn. It's not a gospel song. But it could have been if we come with personal worship, isn't it? It's a beautiful world we live in. It really is. And here especially, with all people, we should know that. Now, here's the challenge, though. Do you know that none of this would exist if God hadn't created it? Do you take that seriously? That's what I do. Would I miss it? Would I miss it if it wasn't there? No, because I wouldn't be here either. No life, no family, no friends, no emotions, no dreams, no consciousness, no existence. You know what? That's hard for us to even get our heads around that, isn't it? Even to imagine what that would be means that you would still have consciousness, which means you can't even really picture it. Not just a bare world, no world. No universe. Time would not exist. And as I say, for bodily beings such as us, this is really beyond our understanding. And you may say, well, why are you thinking about these things and talking them? Because as hard as it is to try and picture what it must be like or what it could have been like, it is against that backdrop that I begin to have a glimpse of how great the creation was. In the beginning, God created then the heavens and the earth. How can we not worship him for that? How can we not worship him? You think about all around us and the things that are there. And I don't know. Everything I see as I look out that window was created by God. Every tree, every squirrel, every bird, every molecule in my being was created by God. The Spirit that gives life to these bones and sinews, that gives comprehension to my mind and emotions to my heart, that Spirit was breathed on humanity by God. Every bit of it. Everything from God. And as I think of these things, there's only one word that comes to mind. Awe. Absolute awe of what God can do. Do I know why he did these things? Why he created humanity? No, not really. I do know that my life belongs to him, that he has given me my days here, no matter how many or how few there are. He gives us our abilities and our talents, and I must never take for granted what he has given to me, and I know that I must worship him with reverence. Reverence and awe. How can I help but desire to worship God basically all the days of my life? That's not the only thing that I really do not understand about God. In Genesis 15:6, it says that Abram believed the Lord and he created it to him as righteousness. Huh? After we failed God, this is the merciful God that all he asks of us is that we believe in him and we give him, the authority that and he's merciful to us. He calls it righteousness? Really? All he ever asks of us is faith in him. Talk about a merciful God, eh? We don't deserve the mercy he gives us. I cannot help but be wonderstruck that God is not willing that anyone should perish. That's why he sent Emmanuel, God among us. How can I be anything but awestruck that God would send Jesus to die on the cross to save us? I can't do anything to earn that. It's a purely given out of love by our God. And I can't help but, when I think of that, I think about the words of the song. I won't sing this one. The hymn, The Love of God, where he sings about, the verse that runs, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. That's the love we're looking at. Is that worth worship? Do I have anybody agree with me on that one?
Amen.
Thank you. I know I put you to sleep already, but thank you. And the other thing is, that's not even the end of it. Jesus left his disciples, including us, by inheritance. And God sent his Holy Spirit to walk with us, to guide us, to encourage us, to help us. As we walk this world, we are not alone. When we face the difficulties of life and the frailties of flesh, he helps us carry our burden. Praise God that he never left us alone. God has also given us a hope. We know that for example, in Hebrews 11:6, we read this verse, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists, we've dealt with that, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And he does, he rewards us. But he's also going to reward us once more yet at the end. And that's the thing that we have to remember too. One day Jesus will return. One day the king will come wearing his purple robes. And then we will be raptured to live eternally in the heavenly kingdom of God. What a magnificent hope we have. And what does that do for us? That should bring us full circle to where we began. Back to Hebrews 12. I want to read the whole sort of section that's there this time. See to it that you do not refuse. They did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth. How much less will we? We've been warned. If we turn away from him who warns us from heaven. At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicates the removing of what can be shaken. That is created things. Creation will end. So that what cannot be shaken may remain. And that which cannot be shaken is his kingdom. It cannot be shaken. And then we come to it. And I want you to read it with me. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. With reverence and awe. Wonderful words. And as I think about it, as I said, there's so much more to say. But I hope that some of these understandings about God can help both you and me, and form and fill our worship, that we would know better where we're at and what we're doing. Do we have enough reason to walk our lives daily in worship? What would you say? More than enough. Do we worship in reverence and awe? We should. Our God is worthy of all that worship. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up and join us at this point. I was thinking about it, and this is again one of those things where as I was working on it, a song came to mind, and I couldn't shake it. I had to have it. You know, it came. It's another one of the old songs. We've sung some old songs today, and this is another one. But it's a song that reminds me just how important it is, the reverence and awe. Why don't you stand and join us?
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty and throne above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in awe of you.
Praise God in your hearts, or praise him in any way you wish. Thank him for some of the things that he's done in your life. Thank him for the things that he's done for all of us.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for your church. Lord, thank you for everyone in this church, Lord. We thank you for how you blessed each one of us, how you helped each one of us. We bless you that you are our personal God. Lord, you forgive every of our sins. We are broken people in front of you, Lord. But yet you accept us. For that we worship you, Lord. With awe and with reverence, Lord. Praise you, God. There's nothing we can say when we stand in awe, Lord. Church, praise out your words to him, Lord. Let it hold back your words that comes out from your heart. He is your God, more than worthy, Lord, to receive your praise. You're more beautiful, more wonderful than ever before. Let's sing that together.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, O majesty and throne above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you, holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in awe of you.
I stand,
and I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Stand in awe of you.
Receive the benediction upon your hearts today. Ephesians 3:20-21 says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Please be seated. A few quick announcements for you this morning. Just want to thank all of our members that came out and attended our membership meeting. As you note in number 2 there in your bulletin, that we had 177 in attendance, and that we both passed our financial report and our budget proposal. So thank you to all of our members for that. Also, our risk management and safety class that was in course was available today has been postponed to a later date. Also, you'll note that the COVID-19 number 5 there in your bulletins is something that's wreaking havoc around our world today. And so we're trying to be sensitive towards that as a church. So if you know of a person that's had a downturn in their business or a concern because of this hit that we've taken to the economy because of this COVID-19, please let our pastors know. And we're wanting to show care to these ones that have had some difficulties in this area. Also, you'll note that there's a concern over the kids' ministries, that the kids are going to be having their temperature taken when parents sign them in and sign them out in our church. So just so that you're aware of that, so that when you take your kids downstairs, that their temperature is going to be taken. And if it's too high, they will be sent home. Also, you'll note that there'll be some people taking some holidays. Some of our pastors, including myself and my family, we won't be here next Sunday as we're going to be flying off to Regina, Saskatchewan, to see Daniel graduate. That's Kimberly's significant other. So he's graduating from the RCP in Regina, Saskatchewan. And so it's so good to see his 6 months of training completed. And so we're going to be there to celebrate with him. And so Thank you so much for being present here with us this morning at Westwood. And there's coffee being served in the Connections Room. So please do join us for coffee. But no kissing or any spreading of germs. Okay? So thank you for being present here with us today. God bless you, and please go out with silent prayer.